Today is Monday, the 7th of May, 2018, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone. And thank you for joining another Geeky Gay podcast. And I didn't record one last week. My apologies. I've been preparing for the Pride 48 registrations. It's interesting. I told everyone we had a suits meeting, right? We had a suits meeting a little bit more than a week ago, I guess. And I told them, I said, oh, it's going to be no problem for me to update the website, to get the registration form up there, and, you know, do all that stuff that I need to do to get it ready for everyone to register. And, well, it did take longer than I thought it was going to take, as per usual. And it's, you know, I'm not going to go into a lot of technical detail, but a lot of it was because there were some other features that I needed or I wanted to add to make it a little bit easier for us to assign the times and, you know, do all the stuff that we need to do other than just the registration. So I went ahead and took the opportunity to do a couple of other updates. Anyway, again, I'm not going to get into a bunch of technical detail, but hopefully it'll be ready this evening, Monday evening, and Turniphead can send out the newsletter and we can update Facebook and I can, you know, pull the trigger on the website and get it ready for people to register for June. But all that being said, one of the reasons that I didn't get a show out last week was because I was working on that. Oh my God, I can't breathe. I'm trying not to have a lot of breath on the show, but for whatever reason, I'm out of breath. I think, you know, either I'm dying or I'm just not doing enough cardio because, and maybe it's just turning 40, but, you know, and not 40 yet, but, you know, getting close to 40, I hear that 40 is some magical number where your body starts falling apart. And so, I don't know, it's like, I'm going to be 40 in August, and I've started getting out of breath more and more and more recently. Just for simple things like walking upstairs and stuff like that. It's stupid. Anyway, and I wasn't even walking upstairs. I was just finishing getting ready for work and like getting into the car. But anyway, so I've almost done with getting the registration stuff ready for the website. So you guys will be able to, when you hear this or shortly thereafter, you should be getting an email. If you're a podcaster, that you can go ahead and go over and register for the June event. And I wanted to talk a little bit about podcasting and podcasters, especially personal journal podcasters. And I'm not going to get sad, you know, or sappy or anything like that. And I know that this person, I'm pretty sure this person doesn't even listen to my little show. Which is fine, because I say all the time, you know, this is a personal journal podcast. There are no segments. There's no real entertainment value. This is just more of a show for people who, you know, are either friends of mine or they want to, you know, some people like personal journal podcasts. They like to feel like, you know, they're keeping up with someone else's life. And, you know, me, I do like to listen to mundane stuff, so that's one of the reasons I listen to Big Fatty. I actually enjoy hearing about his itinerary every day and, you know, the fact that he used a coupon and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, I don't expect people to, you know, listen to this show because I don't put anything into it for, you know, entertainment. It's all like, you know, just keeping up with Adam. Kind of like keeping up with the Kardashians, although I'm sure, I don't watch that show, but I'm sure that show is much more, they have much more to keep up with. We'll just say that. You know, they insert drama into their lives and do things so that it's more interesting to watch, I'm sure. But anyway, so I do want to talk about podcasts, especially personal journal podcasts. And I think a lot of you will identify with this. So, I am an introverted person, like a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that podcasters are introverted because they think, oh my God, you do this very public thing where you broadcast about your life. And, you know, I mean, that's not a very introverted activity. And, you know, also to really enjoy the attention of people listening to your show every week and all that. That doesn't seem very introverted, but I am. I am a very introverted person. My backpack keeps falling all over the place. And a lot of podcasters are very introverted. That doesn't mean that, you know, that's necessarily a trait of all podcasters, but just a lot of them are. And we really, you know, that's one of our creative outlets, is to get on a microphone and say stuff. You know, sometimes I'm brutally honest on this show, to the point where some of the things I say on the show, I might not have even said in person to someone. Because I'm recording into a microphone, and then I release it out into the world, and, you know, it's different somehow. But anyway, the other half of that is, those of us who podcast are familiar, and the listeners who are listening that don't podcast, you're familiar with, you know, being an introverted person and not being a person to necessarily go out and make a lot of friends in person, you know, and me and other people that are from the South, where it's a little bit less accepting of being gay as well. You know, a lot of us use this podcasting thing to also make friends. And you know, when I started, my boyfriend at the time, Maddie, was very, he was very much an extrovert. And we had friends, and it's not that I didn't have friends, because I was singing in the Turtle Creek Chorale, and, you know, I would always get invited to events that various members of the chorale were doing and stuff like that. So, you know, I did have friends, and at the time I was going through my I Want to Look Like a Twink phase, so I was, you know, I was dieting, but I was also very skinny. I was like 128 pounds. And so any chance I got to walk around in my underwear or naked, you know, at a pool party or something like that, you know, I was all for it. But anyway, so I had more in-person friends because I was also living in a city, and it was much easier to meet other gay people and people who were accepting of me being gay. And so now I'm back in Arkansas, and I'm near family, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And they know I'm gay now, and they've accepted it, but it's still a little bit more difficult. So all that being said, it's very easy to make friends in the podcasting community. And so when you listen to a podcast, and again, this is the part that I know all of you are going to identify with, it's like catching up with a friend. You know, you hear Big Fatty, you hear Auntie Vera, you hear Foul Monkeys, you hear Catching Up, you hear Cocktails and Cream Puffs, you know, all the various shows. Pod is my co-pilot, and you feel like you're in their little group. And honestly, when we're all in Vegas and everything, you know, we're all hanging out together and we're all friends. But when we go our separate ways, you know, we can listen to each other's shows, and they're entertaining. I mean, a lot of them are very funny and have entertainment value. But it's also a really good way to keep up with each other. And so anytime that a podcaster decides to stop podcasting, it's always sad on more of a... It's not like... And, you know, for instance, Mark and I finished Scandal yesterday. Scandal had its final season. I don't know how many of you watch Scandal, but there's always a sadness when one of your favorite shows ends. And so, you know, and although I thought they, you know, they did a great job leading up to the finale, like the 5 or 6 episodes going up to the finale got back to the old Scandal, you know, that I was used to, that was very dramatic. And but Olivia Pope went back to being a good guy, which, you know, she had kind of gotten evil in the past couple of seasons. But anyway, so, you know, I enjoyed those, and then the last episode, they needed to tie it up quickly, and they just, boom, tied everything up and killed somebody. And I think they just killed somebody just because they felt like they needed a death or something, because it didn't really serve any purpose. But anyway, so, you know, when you watch the final episode, or when you hear that a show that you love is being canceled or is having its final season, you get sad. But oh, and I'll say one other thing. Now when a new show comes out every year, you know, when they have the new shows that come out, I refuse to start watching them until I see... There's this website that I go to called TV by the Numbers. And I go there, and it ranks all throughout the TV season, you know, weather shows, you know, what the likelihood is they're going to be renewed and or canceled. And most of the time, I won't watch a show unless it's likely to be renewed, especially a new show, because I don't want to get invested in a new show and then it be canceled after the first season. But anyway, so that's my neuroses, whatever. All that being said, you know, there's much more so that we get sad when one of the podcasts we listen to ends. Because, you know, those are our friends. A lot of times those are our friends. I mean, even if you're listening to something like an NPR show or, you know, something that's more professionally produced where it is actually a business, you know, for some reason, podcasts are more intimate than a TV show. They're more intimate than cable news. They're more intimate than, you know, documentaries. They're more intimate than that sort of stuff. Even for an NPR show, you start to feel like you know the person, like you're sitting down and having a chat with them. And so when one of the shows ends, but especially in Pride 48, when, you know, this is someone who is your friend, who, you know, you talk to outside of podcasting, when the show ends, there really is a sadness, because every week you get to listen, you know, listen in on their lives. And even if you haven't had communication with them in a while, you know, in a few weeks or a month or anything like that, you can feel like you are caught up with their life. And so all that being said, Auntie Vera, who I don't think listens to this show, announced that he is ending his show, and it's kind of abrupt. I mean, he didn't give, like, Big Fatty, you know, has been telling us for a year and a half or 2 years that he's retiring. And most people are still in denial about that. They're like, no, he's not going to retire, or he's going to spin off another show, or, you know, we're going to convince him not to quit or whatever. But he gave a really long time. But Auntie Vera announced on his show on Friday, you know, that he was ending the show in a month, you know. And I really got sad because, first of all, I really like Auntie Vera as a person. I consider us friends. And, you know, that's kind of how I keep up with him. I listen every week. And, you know, so it really made me sad. I enjoy his show. I enjoy the voices he does. I enjoy the stories he tells. And I, you know, I enjoy all of that. And I know, you know, there may be many reasons for quitting. I mean, you know, he's maybe just creatively burned out and doesn't feel like he, you know, has much more creatively to give. Feels like he's in a rut, you know, maybe wants to focus on other things in life. You know, I don't know, but, you know, whatever it is, you know, he has a right to decide to do whatever he wants to do. But it makes it sad for multiple reasons. You know, one reason is that's entertainment that we get. You know, we get some sort of entertainment from all podcasts. You know, even if it is a personal journal podcast, you know, that doesn't focus much on entertainment, you know, that's how we feel part of our life. A lot of us have desk jobs where we're just sitting there all day not talking to anyone, so we have podcasts playing. Some people do jobs that are manual labor, but, you know, again, they're, you know, doing something where they can have headphones in and you know, they're catching up with their Pride 48 friends. And, you know, just from a Pride 48, you know, standpoint, Auntie Vera has been the voice of Pride 48 for, you know, the entire time. Now, hopefully he won't stop doing that, you know, he'll still have recording equipment and be able to do that, but it's always sad when a show ends, and especially when a Pride 48 show ends, at least to me. So anyway, I encourage you guys to go over there to Auntie Vera, or Vera Speak, gosh, I'm going to forget the website, but go over to pride48.com, click on shows, you can find a link to Auntie Vera's show. Email, call, you know, write. I'm not going to say start a campaign to convince him not to quit, but tell him how much you appreciate the show and the work that he puts into it. And, you know, I mean, even if, you know, if this is definitive and he quits, you know, we should all show our appreciation. And, you know, there are people who listen to my show who, you know, they enjoy just keeping up with my life. And hearing the stories that I tell, and, you know, and they, and I assume that if I should say, you know, I'm ending everything, that they would be a little bit sad. I hope at least one person would be sad if I ended this. And, you know, my goal is to never end this. I plan, you know, even if I'm wishy-washy and I don't always release every single week, or if I go a few weeks without releasing, podcasting is part of my life, and I, you know, I plan on keeping to doing that forever. Even on my deathbed, I think I'll have a little handheld recorder like I'm recording on right now and just record, you know, something. I mean, I'm not saying that my deathbed is coming soon, but anyway, not to get grim, but all I want to say is there's a little bit of a hole in my heart because Auntie Vera said that he's, you know, ending the show. And, you know, there's many, many reasons for that, but the show will be missed. And, I know he, you know, he doesn't listen to this, but I just want to say the show will be missed, and make sure you guys contact him to let him know how much you appreciate the show. So moving on to me, I don't have a lot, but I did want to talk to you guys about this habit that I have. Well, first of all, I don't think I talked about this in the last episode. Mark had an accident, a car accident. So last Saturday, actually it was, two Saturdays. It's been a week, a little bit over a week. The Saturday before this most last one, two Saturdays ago, whatever. I was at home. Mark had gone to a birthday party. And he called me in the afternoon, and he said, hey, I got into an accident, and can you come? And so I was like, oh, God. Okay, I'm like, yeah, I'll drop everything. We were going to another. There were two birthday parties that day, and the first one was a pool party, and I didn't want to go to that one, so I wanted to do some stuff around the house. So, you know, that he went by himself. And then the second one was at Ruth's Chris, so hard to say, Ruth's Chris, and, you know, and they were paying for it. The birthday, because the Filipino culture, if it's your birthday, you pay for your guests, you pay for the food and all that for your guests. I think I've talked about that before. So two of his Filipino friends had a birthday close to the same time as each other. So they decided to take their friends out to Ruth's Chris. And you're talking, I don't know, I would say $50 to $75 at least per person. And they invited like 10 or 12 people. So I bet they were looking at close to $1,000 for that birthday party. But anyway, regardless. So he got an accident. And unfortunately, he was turning left and turned in front of someone that was coming around a curb, and they collided, and it was this high school student, and it was Mark's, for the most part, it was Mark's fault. And I get there, and it looks like some war scene or whatever. I mean, like the side of the front corner, the front passenger side corner of Mark's car is demolished. I mean, there's debris all over the road. The other car has driven into the ditch on the other side, and there's like a little embankment there, and his car hit the embankment and tore up his bumper. I'm surprised no one got hurt. I mean, it was horrible looking. There were two cop cars there. They were cleaning up the road. They were sweeping all the debris from the car off the road. They had called two tow trucks, etc., etc. So anyway, Mark has, you know, went through the process of filing the claim, doing all of that. Well, I knew in the back of my mind, I used to be a claims adjuster for an auto insurance company. And Mark's car is a 2013. And I knew when I saw his damage, I was like, oh, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, that may be a total loss. Which basically, I mean, I'm sure most of you are aware, when an insurance company determines that the cost to repair the vehicle is close to, and every state and every insurance company has a different threshold, they call it, but when you get around 70, 60 to 70% of the value of the car, So, like, if your car is worth $10,000 and it's going to cost, you know, $6,000 or more to fix, even $5,000, you know, even 50% is getting close, they can deem that a total loss. And what that means is they're not going to pay to fix it, and they're going to give you the actual cash value, what they consider is the actual cash value of your car. And then you have to, you can get the car from them, you know, and basically there's a bunch of math they do, because then they take the actual cash value, they subtract your deductible, and then they also subtract, when a car is totaled and you leave it with the insurance company, they sell it to a salvage yard for parts or whatever. And that's part of the way an insurance company recoups their money on a total loss. So if you choose to keep the vehicle and get it fixed, then they will subtract the what they call the salvage value. So the amount they would have gotten from a salvage yard from your settlement. And so you get the value minus the salvage value minus your deductible. And Mark's car was in perfect shape. He takes it to get it, he gets maintenance done on it every quarter. You know, he does all of that. It looked brand new. I mean, even though it's like a 2013, it looks brand new. He takes very good care of it, except for this horrible damage on the passenger corner, or the front corner. And so I told him, well, you could choose to keep it. You know, it's a shame because it was in such good condition. I said, but then you're going to have a salvage title. Because when they total your car, your title is then a salvage title. And then it's that basically, if you ever try to sell it again, it completely destroys any value that was left in the car. But also, it's very hard to get collision or comprehensive insurance on it. So I said, that's one option. I said, you know, if you don't want to have a car payment, that might be a good way to go, except just keep in mind, you probably won't be able to have collision or comprehensive on it ever again. And, you know, you won't really have much value when you go to sell it or trade it in when you get a new car. The other option is you can go ahead and take whatever settlement they offer you and then go find another car. So ultimately, the good side is they offered him much more than we thought the car was worth. So that was very good. He decided to go ahead and let them keep the car and go buy a new car. And, well, not a new car. I believe in buying used cars. My stepfather raised me that it doesn't make sense to buy a new car because the moment you drive them off the lot, they lose so much value. And so you should get a car that's like a year old, a year or two old, you know, that's had one owner, some grandma that didn't drive it very much, you know, whatever. Try to do the best you can to get something that's in really good shape and maybe still has a warranty and all that, but you want to let someone else pay the cost of that newness because you don't want to eat that depreciation. And so I convinced him, I think, to get a used car, so he's looking at used cars. But anyway, he's been looking for, you know, the past 3 or 4 days, and we're actually going to go test drive a couple after work today. But then there's, you know, the whole, okay, I have a thing... I have a little bit of a classist thing where I'm like, oh, I wouldn't buy this particular brand of car because that's kind of a poor person's car. Or, you know, I wouldn't drive this car because that's a ghetto car. Or, you know, whatever. You know, so, I don't know, that's a drug dealer car, you know, that's whatever. And it's horrible. I should not think that way. I'm a horrible person. So, you know, he'll look at a car and be like, eh, maybe you don't want that one. But anyway, so we're looking at cars. We're going to go test drive a couple. So that was the big thing that happened, and it didn't even happen to me. We are starting to look at houses because we're going to be moving. And we haven't really started looking seriously, but we have about 7 weeks until we have to move. But I would really like to move in about 5 weeks. Because, you know, as per usual, the lease ends right around the time that Pride 48 weekend happens. And I'd really like to be moved into the new house before Pride 48 weekend. So I can go ahead and broadcast from the new place. The other thing that I wanted to mention to you guys that I've been, you know, I wanted to make this a segment, so maybe I will. It's hard to have segments, though, because when I'm recording in the car, I tried, you know, having my iPad connected to my mini recorder and playing music, you know, while I'm in the car, but it's difficult. For one thing, I'm driving, and for another, you know, the editing and all that. Anyway, so it's hard to add bumpers and all that when I do a car cast, but I have a tendency to want things, and a lot of times if I don't have self-control, to buy things that I don't necessarily need. And usually it's in the area of podcasting and technology. And, women a lot of times, and even men, you know, there are a lot of gay men who buy shoes when they don't need them. They have hundreds of pairs of shoes, you know, and they don't really need any more, but they go out and buy them, you know, they're whatever. I don't know if it's retail therapy to, you know, help with stress or whatever. But recently, I saw an ad for this live streaming video recording equipment. There's a hub thing that you hook up to your Ethernet, and then there are these wireless modules that you connect to cameras. And you can also connect it to like a computer if you want to display, you know, what's on the screen. And it connects to Facebook, it connects to YouTube, it connects to all these places. And it's a dedicated streaming box. And it's really for people who their business is video podcast. I mean, I don't even maintain a YouTube channel or anything like that, but it was so cool. And all the time I tried to do live streaming and stuff, I ran into computer issues where I was like, you know, my computer wouldn't be powerful enough to live stream and do all the stuff, you know, the video stuff that I wanted. And also editing video is a big challenge because then you have to go in and edit each cut together and all that kind of stuff. But if you record a live stream, and this thing would actually, you know, record everything to an SD card, and then you can import that into Adobe Premiere, and it already has all of the transitions and cuts and all of that stuff in it. So, I mean, it's really cool, but it's quite expensive. And I looked at this thing for a month. Every day I would go back and you know how when you look at something once online, an ad for that appears every other web page that you go to? So it was like, taunting me. It's like I go to a web page and there's an ad for Sling Studio. You know, I go to another web page, there's another ad for Sling Studio. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't spend this money. You know, we're getting ready to move. I don't even do video very often. So, you know, why am I going to do this? But I have this habit of buying these techie things and then, you know, maybe I use them once or twice and then they go in the closet. So I slipped up and I gave in and I bought it. So now, I mean, the one good thing is I am planning on video streaming the Pride 48 weekend in New Orleans, because this is going to make it super simple to hook up a couple of cameras and stream that out to the listeners at home. But I tried to do that once before, and it was difficult on the computer because, first of all, I had to bring an entire desktop computer to, you know, to have enough power to do this video switching and everything. And all the cameras I had to set up with all the long USB cables and all that. This solution is wireless, and it all fits into a backpack. So it's really cool, but I shouldn't have spent the money. And so now I'm going to have to come up with, you know, I'm going to have to go back to doing my YouTube channel and live streaming to Facebook or YouTube or something while I record so that I have a reason to have this. So anyway, maybe I'm going to make a segment about all the stupid things that I purchase or that I look at on Amazon and you know, think that I need. We'll see. But anyway, that, you know, I gave in on that one, but there are other things that sometimes I have willpower and don't give in. All right. So we're going to go ahead and end it here. I've gone a little bit long on this one as well. So For more episodes of the show, you can go over to geekygay.com. You can call me, 229-234-7587. You can email me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And you can find many, many more LGBT and LGBT-friendly shows over at pride48.com. And I just want to say to Auntie Vera, good luck with everything. I mean, we're going to remain friends, but your show is really going to be missed. And for those of you listening to my show, I will see you guys next time. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.